12:30 on your Friday with some of the best weather we've had in a long, long time. I hope you get out and enjoy it this weekend. What I don't enjoy is the messages we've been hearing from both diehard Republicans and diehard Democrats, way to the right and way to the left, that if their opponent wins the presidential election in November, that essentially the country is going to be ruined, that our lives are going to be destroyed if the wrong person wins. They say it will end America as we know it. We've been hearing this from both camps. That message seems to me to be more prevalent than ever, at least as I can recall, and I've covered a lot of presidential elections. So I wanted to get a presidential historian on to join us to tell us, can the person elected to be president of the United States really make our lives dramatically better or dramatically worse? And is this rhetoric unusual in a presidential race? And so we've been lucky enough to get award-winning, best-selling presidential historian, author, and fellow Alexis Coe to join us here on WWL. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Glad you could take some time out to join us because the election right around the corner, coming up in November, and the rhetoric is getting more and more dramatic, not only from the candidates, but from their supporters and their opponents. So simply, let's start with this very basic question. Can, whether it's Harris or Trump that wins this election, can they dramatically make our lives better or make our lives worse?
Well, first, to get to your earlier point, which I think is excellent, partisanship is as old as this country itself. And from the very beginning, ahead of each election, except for ones in which George Washington was elected, the country was completely mystified and terrified by their options as they disagreed and thought that the opposition, whoever they didn't support, would surely lead in the end times, the end of the American experiment. I think, at least for my whole adult life, I've heard reactions like, I'm moving to Canada. But what I do know, and what we do know from recent history, is who the president is affects us in the short term and the long term. In the long term, the reason we usually wait to rank presidents is we need to see what their policies do. And we do know that certain policies work, certain policies don't. That takes time. But then there are crises like the COVID-19 pandemic that showed us what happens when we have a leader who might not necessarily be best suited for the role at that time.
So I guess the answer, we don't always know how much a president will impact our lives when we elect them. We know their philosophies. We know their platforms. We know where they stand on the issues that are addressed. But you're right. We don't know what they're going to have to face as president. You know, a lot of people have been calling us and texting us because we've been discussing this for a few hours now here on the show and saying, you know, that right now the inflation that we've been dealing with, particularly at grocery stores and restaurants, and trying to point fingers at either President Biden or President Trump for causing that inflation and saying that that's how their lives have been directly impacted. But they disagree on whose fault it is and who actually caused the inflation or made the inflation worse.
Yes, I think that's a feeling that is prevalent. You don't really know who to blame, but again, I think I'm a biographer of George Washington, John Kennedy. I study all the presidents. I'm a senior fellow at New America think tank where I think about all of them. And here's what I do know. Whenever I rank the presidents in C-SPAN's ranking, you hear, you know, top five presidents. I always note there's no perfect president. I've never met a perfect person, never met a perfect president. But we do, and they make mistakes. George Washington's response to the Whiskey Rebellion, which was allegedly and ironically a bunch of non-land-owning whiskey distilleries and growers, they grow the grain, rebelling against being taxed without representation. They didn't own land, so they couldn't vote. so they weren't represented and they didn't have cash. They were an agrarian society that traded things. But he rode out with the entire army and then found there was no one there rebelling. It was quite embarrassing. So that's a big mistake. And we think of George Washington as being almost too perfect to be real. And then the way I like to think about it, if we, and I think it's useful because it takes partisanship out of the equation. I used to really dislike the way people would talk about the founders or the presidents in like our founding fathers. They would parentify them, right? It seemed like very strange to me. And then eventually I came around to this idea as being useful because you want, you know, the kind of parent who is going to take care in a crisis, who's going to be a steady hand, who will be fair and equal to all his or her children. But you, at the same time, you don't want one that, demands a lot in return and sort of dominates your life so that you can't live it. There are all these ways in which we can think about the presidents in different ways that takes us out of this very, you know, I would say it's always, partisanship has always been bad, but there is a particular and worrisome, almost violent tinge to these conversations.
And of course, the president being the commander in chief has impact on many people's lives who either choose to or get drafted into our armed forces. And we've seen that over history. And clearly the decisions a president makes in terms of starting a war, entering a war, sending soldiers to war, that impacts many people and extremely directly, particularly when they lose their lives or suffer horrible injuries or other impacts from war. But I've been asking our listeners how presidents have impacted their lives personally beyond their role as commander-in-chief and in terms of the military forces. A lot of people pointed to President Lincoln freeing the slaves. Some people pointed to FDR creating Social Security. Obviously, both of those things were long before we were alive. And so I started trying to think, what has a president done in my lifetime that really had a profound impact on my life? And really, the best I could come up with was President Trump lowered my taxes and President Obama, by pushing and getting Obamacare passed, had a dramatic impact on my family for the pre-existing conditions being required to be covered by insurance and by allowing children to stay on their parents' insurance to 26. But that was the best I could come up with in my life. Am I missing something? And are presidents in the modern era, have they had dramatic impact on our personal lives beyond the philosophical and, you know, policy kinds of decisions they make that may over time impact us as individuals?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of, subtle, it's hard, right? Because presidents don't pass bills, but they are the de facto leader of their party. And they directly, you know, impact how policy is made. We also have to really account for how much ethics and personality plays a role in who is president. And so, you know, to get away from these very specific policies, although we could talk about Reagan after he was shot pushing the Brady Bill, writing an op-ed in the New York Times and pushing for gun control. But I think it's also worthwhile to look at something like Watergate with Nixon. That is when we first saw a real sharp uptick in the cynicism the electorate feels towards the president. And I think that was significant because we see any time that there's a real break between the way a president professes to be or the way that we think a president should be, and usually, and their performance, we see issues from the electorate and we see this divisiveness rise. We have another example, not just from Nixon, so we'll do both parties, right? We have a Republican, now we'll do a Democrat, Bill Clinton. We have this projection of a family man with his, you know, wife by his side, and his Chelsea Clinton at the time was young and in the White House. I think she started out in middle school. And of course, he had affairs and ones that really inappropriately wielded power over a young intern. And so we have that also really directly impacting lives because they are, you know, for better or worse, are not only commander-in-chief, but are sort of moralizer-in-chief. And those conversations trickle down. We see them. They're in our living rooms. They're having, they're forcing these conversations in our families.
That's an interesting take, and I hadn't really considered that. I don't know that my opinions or thoughts on cheating on your spouse changed as a result of President Clinton's behavior or not, but I can see where that you can argue that would have an impact on the psyche of the nation and could change the way individuals think about things in general, whether it was Nixon, which predates me, or Clinton. I was thinking more intangible kind of ways they either impacted my life in what I can or cannot do, or impacted my bank account in terms of what I do or do not pay in taxes. And I just get the feeling that in the modern era, particularly since we limit presidents to two terms now, they have less and less ability, and with gridlock on Capitol Hill most recently, less and less ability to directly impact our lives. And it just makes me wonder, is my life really going to change dramatically for the better or for the worse, whether Donald Trump or Kamala Harris wins the election?
I think I have to push back on that one quite dramatically, because due to the appointments, you know, Obama was not a Republican-dominated Congress, did not allow Obama to appoint a Supreme Court justice. And of course, Trump appointed two. And as a result, Roe versus Wade was shot down. And we see women throughout the country being forced to carry, and you know, girls who would not be described as women being forced to carry children to term, not, you know, who were sometimes a result of rape or incest. We've heard accounts in the news of women bleeding out in parking lots. And so I think individual lives are definitely impacted by a lot of this sort of chess game in the presidency.
Yeah, and I think you can point to other historic decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage, which then you can then track back those justices and which president they were appointed by. And so, yes, presidents clearly do. And I'm not saying no president has ever impacted anybody's life. That I would never argue that, because clearly in the short term and the long term, presidents do have impact. We have presidents for a reason, and they do wield a great amount of power as leader of the United States and really of the free world. But I guess in a back around an end around kind of way, I'm just questioning how much my life particularly, I just don't see it will be immediately ruined or immediately made dramatically better based on the outcome of this election. And I welcome arguments against that.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's the hope, right? That's the hope for all of us. It's just unfortunately not the position that we all find ourselves in. I think it's subtle. It can be something as small as the president not necessarily pushing vaccinations for younger children as quickly as older. It could be bigger, as we just talked about. But I do think what you're sort of pinpointing here, maybe what's underlying this is underlying it is not necessarily these privileged positions. Oh, that doesn't really affect me, and this cherry picking of what might or might not happen and how it will affect our individual lives based on our circumstances that are financial, social, all of these things. I think it's more what is the panic here? Will this really on the second day radically change? Well, I have to say, and this is going to sound partisan, but remember that I am a presidential historian. And so not only I put country before party, I put constitution before party, and I'm at a bipartisan think tank. But we only have one candidate who is saying that, and I'm not saying the other one is perfect or anywhere near it, but we have one candidate who's saying that they're going to be a dictator, that they're going to be a despot on day one. That could dramatically change. And I'm not really accepting that this is just talk, because we've never had that kind of talk. It happens in other countries. And the thing that happens in those countries is if they had a democracy, it falls. A way of living is drastically changed. So I think that that is quite serious. So yes, I think that some of that incredible angst and anxiety around the election is justified. I'm not sure otherwise it is.
Alexis Koe, presidential historian, author, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to read more from you, how can they do that?
Well, there's a George Washington biography, You Never Forget Your First. I have a newsletter called Study Mary Kill, and they can find me generally online, writing all the time.
Alexis Koe, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us here on WWL. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.